to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Get ready to uncover the secrets, gain valuable insights, and conquer any dental challenge that comes your way. From advanced techniques, innovative technologies, and the ever-important set skills, Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. And today it's a real pleasure for me to have as a guest Dr. Frank Armato. Excuse me, Frank. And it's a real pleasure for me to have Frank on the podcast this morning. Frank got his doctorate in leadership, and that's why I brought him on. As you know, audience, and my friends in our Fearless Dentistry community, I go outside of the dental square, out of our normal day in and day out life of dentistry, to bring in people that I think can have a great influence and impact upon your ability to create a great practice, to niche it up and bring it into, I'm going to call it more of a transformational dental practice, which is from the perspective of the patient, not the transactional aspect. And this is part of what I think Frank has a degree of expertise with himself in. He is an author of the book, The Discipline of Consistency in a World of Compromise. And that's what brought me to Frank, was that book. So Frank is also the president of the Ethos Center of Excellence. And I like that last word, excellence. And so he also has a emphasis on consistent centric leadership. So Frank, your world kind of evolves around leadership and consistency in life. So talk with me a little bit about yourself and how you came about this in your life, and we'll go from there.
You bet, Dr. John. Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation to spend some time together today. It's a wonderful way to kick off my week, and really have enjoyed my time with you thus far. So thank you for that opportunity. You know, I love this. When you talk about consistency in a world of compromise, it's just not talking about, you know, our professional swim lane. It's about, you know, who we are, you know, personally as well. And all of those should really meld together and align. So too often people, you know, have this kind of a disjoining of those and lead a professional identity and a personal identity. And, you know, talk a little bit about that consistency of how those meld together, and they should meld together in regards to who we are in our authentic self and who we're created to be, kind of our purpose, you know. That's one of the things that I really wanted to practice myself first and foremost, because we can't give what we don't have, right? And so I wanted to make sure I had that somewhat honed, and it's a work in progress. You know, we're always under construction and never arrive. So I've really enjoyed your past podcasts, and you know, it's just a blessing to be here and just to share a little bit of insightfulness, maybe even outside, you know, dentistry. I have several friends that are dentists who I think the world of, it's a great field to be in, because you touch so many people's lives, not only physically but emotionally. That kind of that ethos when they're in the chair is so important. Besides cleaning, straightening, and their oral hygiene, you're giving so much more to that. So I marvel at some of my friends that are dentists, as well as what you've done professionally throughout your life.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, Frank. And again, that's why I brought you on, was because of the leadership aspect here. And, you know, in the dental community, as I think in a lot of professions, we overlook our personal awareness with the people around us and our presence with people. And we don't take advantage of those situations to open up and be vulnerable in a relationship with these people and have and take advantage of the opportunity to interact in a way that is extremely meaningful. And again, that's where your book, I ran across it. I had an appointment with your wife, Nikki, and I saw on, I've seen your book on her shelf back there behind her as she was working with me. And I never spoke up. And finally, I asked her about a month ago, what is that book up there? And she mentioned that it was your book and what it was about. And again, I thought immediately, I've got to get a hold of you. Because leadership, again, is nothing that is taught to anybody. As I understand in professional school, I know I didn't get any training in it. And so it's trial by error and learning right there with the patients as you grow your practice. And that can be kind of dangerous, you know. When you don't have the training and you try to go in and you, your patients look upon you for leadership, but you don't have the skills, you don't have the demeanor. And a lot of times we're very fearful of taking on that role. Share with me, Frank, how you would guide and direct dentists or any professional individual who has not had any leadership training, how to start their journey in obtaining and becoming an effective leader with individuals.
Yeah, great question, Dr. John. You know, there's a couple things that kind of come to mind that are kind of within the best practices that I've experienced myself through trial and error. But I think one of the most important ones is to remember that each of us have a platform. As leaders, even if you don't think you're a leader, you have the platform of a leader, especially as a dentist, that platform of professionalism. I mean, there's already something, a respect that's already grandfathered in, a trust, an element of trust, which is a very important variable of a leader. In fact, it's in the top three of important characteristics that people need to have towards someone that's leading them. And sometimes that's disproportional in the business world. Unfortunately, I've seen it all too many times where that trust factor isn't in place. But getting back to the wonderful platform of being a dentist, whether you think you have that leadership, those leadership traits, or you don't, let me share with you, you do have those. It's just getting those out and expressing those. And it takes time, you know, and it takes best practices. And, you know, as you've read books in regards to becoming a dentist and the best practices around different methodologies and procedures and instruments, et cetera, there's tools and resources that you can gain or, read and self-educate yourself within, to help, hone those leadership skills. And really it's, leadership is modeling the way. It's not like you have to earn some degree in leadership. I just learned best practices in school in regards to who some of the most profound leaders were, what their traits were, how to mitigate some of that learning curve, things of that nature. And what it comes down to at the end of the day is being your authentic self. In fact, in my book, I highlight 10 pillars of a consistent centric leader. And one of those pillars is authenticity. And I think authenticity is a very extremely important characteristic that's often missed or often bypassed by a lot of professionals. Whether you're an athlete, a clinician, a professional, authenticity is very important in regards to leader. That approach, authenticity means more of an availability and approachability. Being authentically available, you know, to spend time with people that you're leading, that you're mentoring, that you're coaching, that you're maybe working on in the chair. And that availability doesn't just mean a physical presence. It's kind of your mantra. It's kind of the ethos, the culture, so to speak. And that authenticity comes about through communication and openness and availability. And the most important variable of that is the consistency. Because sometimes, let's face it, we're not having the best day. And If we're not, it can carry over to how our demeanor and our behavior is around with other people that may be seeing us for the first time in 3 months or 1 month or a follow-up or what have you. So that consistency element of who we are as leaders is extremely important within that authentic swim lane of authenticity and things of that nature.
Well said. You mentioned something, you know, the consistency factor in being your authentic self. A lot of times that's rather difficult. But the thing that I found in my practice, Frank, and the one thing that my staff and I, we live by, this was a unwritten rule, but it was darn near imprinted on their foreheads and mine, is that every patient that came in deserved our absolute best. They come in with their own stresses and their own anxieties and fears and apprehensions, concerns about what's going to happen in the appointment time. So, you know, their emotional self is heightened. We need to come in a manner with which we're helping. Well, we need to be a leader. We need to be the optimal leader the second we walk in and we start an interaction with any patient. And so I always paused before I went into any room, hygiene check, new patients I was going to be treating in my own operatory. I would pause a second, leave what I had just left, leave it at the door, and walk in with a fresh mind and kind of an open heart. And knowing that this person sitting in that chair needs the absolute best Dr. John that I can give them.
That's awesome.
And that worked.
Yes.
That worked.
Yes.
You talked about the authentic self. And, you know, we hear a lot about being authentic and authenticity. You gave somewhat of a definition, but I'd like for you to really elaborate a little bit on that, Frank. And let's hammer that point home and give the simplest, deep, how's that? Simplest, deep definition so we can remember what authentic and authenticity is about.
Isn't that the coveted oxymoron, Dr. John?
Isn't
deep
it?
And simple?
Yeah. Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about. You know,
Yes, sir.
As soon as I said that, I'm going, well, that is true. It needs to be something that we can walk in with depth and understand it, but do it in the simplest form.
That's right. That's great. Well, you know, authenticity, I think it's a situation. It's something that, about being humble and being approachable, like I shared earlier, and available to people. You know, within dentistry, people are sitting in a chair in their most vulnerable position, opening up their mouth. And, you know, I think there's even a board game now that was kind of duped after being, you know, having your mouth wide open and being able to articulate and talk about what the answer is. And everyone else, your opponents are trying to guess what you're trying to say, right? So, anyway, that vulnerability, that state of vulnerability, I think that's what it takes in being a great authentic leader, is being vulnerable, especially in the you know, to have that common ground and establish an atmosphere of trust, an atmosphere of comfortability that a dentist might need to become somewhat vulnerable with authenticity as well, not to the extent of, you know, having their mouth open as well, but to calm the nerves and just to share and knowing exactly who they're talking to take time before they walk in the room or visit, just like you've done throughout your years. And I think that's what separates mediocrity from excellence when it comes to not only dentistry, but just life in general as a leader, to take that time to be your authentic self, down to earth, being able to communicate with an approachable heart and spirit, being humble, etc. And, you know, that's really hard and hard to find, especially in the corporate world as well, even outside of dentistry. A lot of people are caught up in their self, the acronyms behind their name, their title, things of that nature. And so there's really no consistency. People are always looking over their shoulder. It's just kind of somewhat of a toxic culture, the toxic ethos that, you know, sharing with you earlier. And so that's not healthy. That's not healthy for anyone. And so when we are our authentic self, we really can leave that kind of atmosphere, that culture behind, and really try to model the way. I like to share modeling the way, because if you're not, you know, a leader, it's good to surround yourself with people, mentors, people to look up to that are modeling the way, because that's what it's all about. You know, you take this even to into your home as well. From a personal perspective, you're modeling the way for, you know, for your children, for your spouse. You're not just talking it, you're walking it. You know, it's not the old adage, you know, do as I say, not as I do. You're modeling the way with consistency. And the kids, you know, not only are kids impressionable and have those years, those windows of impressionability, but even patients, you know, your patients in the chair, they're very impressionable based upon your bets, you know, your chairside manner and the whole business acumen and approach, not just when you're in their mouth, but when you're communicating with them as well.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the acronyms behind a person's name, and that's one thing that I've kind of laughed about with some of the people in my profession, is they like to have all these descriptions behind their name, and it's like, okay, really? Your patients don't care what all that means. And it goes, and this is part of where the simplicity that I constantly talk about with my audience, Frank, is that this saying goes way, 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 way back. I don't know. It could be hundreds of years. And you've heard it before. It's like, you know, people don't care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, go ahead.
That was a Theodore Roosevelt quote. That's an excellent one. That's kind of the mantra of authenticity, isn't it?
Yeah.
People don't care about those acronyms.
It is. It is. And we want to impress people with the acronyms and our accomplishments. But what if on our websites we went Dr. John Gordon, DDS, humble, approachable, available, vulnerable, and also willing to trust and honor and respect you?
Mm.
What would happen with our engagement from that type of a description of us rather than DDS and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I think it would speak volumes. I mean, we both know what that leads to, because, you know, it's a situation where, you know, anyone can earn their degrees. It takes a lot of hard work and dedication and discipline. I'm not going to, you know, cut that commitment of studying out of the equation, because not anyone can go to dentistry school, med school, get their doctorate, things of that nature. It does take a discipline. But when we create our identity around those acronyms, I think that's when we run into trouble. You know, our identity is outside of acronyms. It's outside of our titles. It's about being an available and approachable and how we help people and what impression we leave to them. After they leave, you know, our office, I think that's what counts. In fact, you know, I'm sure within your within the dentistry, there's a lot of growth within people sharing who recommending, you know, a dentist to, you know, their friends, their family, and then vice versa as well. If there's a bad experience, you know, it's sort of like going out to dinner, right? At a restaurant, that overall experience. I mean, you may not want to go back to a restaurant, you know. And now, I know this isn't a like for like, but just talking about the whole relationship aspect. If there's a great experience that you have, a great relationship with your dentist, just like I have, even with my physicians, with my doctors who care for me, I'm going to share that. I share that with my family and my friends.
Right.
In growing their practice. So it's really all about that, isn't it? It's about trust with consistency, that availability, and what builds that trust, you know, those elements.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the reason I asked earlier about give us a deep, simple definition of authenticity is that we try to make things too complex, I think. I know we do. We try to make things just way, way, way too complex. And by doing so, we're, I guess, justifying those acronyms behind our names when we do that. And again, you know, in your book, you talked about transactional leadership and then transformational leadership. Mm-hmm. And there's a big difference between the two. Transactional, you know, is not about people. It's about a transaction for economic gain. Transformational is all about people, and it's helping people helping them in their transformational process of life. Talk Great. About those two differences there, Frank, for us, will you?
Oh, yeah, great question. And there's a huge gap there of disparity. And I liken it to being bottom line driven, you know, within your business. Are you bottom line driven? You're making those decisions. Are you really value based and want to deliver a value and relationship and things of that nature? You know, there's a thing where, you know, you could want all you want in regards to delivering, for instance, value. You know, I've worked in the corporate world with an organization that was, you know, beating, you know, what we want to deliver value to our clients. We deliver value. Well, here's the thing is that, you know, I did some studies internally based upon my contribution within the role that I was serving and happened to do some focus group work and come to find out that those people, that those employees that were client facing, that were mandated to deliver value, they weren't valued. They didn't feel value. So right. It goes to that thing where you can't, there's a schism there. There's a gap there that if you don't feel valued, you can't deliver value. Oh, maybe for a brief time, but you're not going to be able to sustain that momentum and not really going to feel charged and excited and passionate about that working dynamic. Right.
Right.
And that's really important to make sure that you're not only modeling the way and how you your behaviors, but also the people, your team members, the people that you're leading as well, and you're modeling that for them.
Yeah. You know, that is, there is a deep gap between transactional and transformational. And I think that, you know, the people that really are great leaders and really understand the concept of leadership go into the transformational, and that's where they live. And those type of companies and corporations thrive,
yes.
Right? The transactional, eventually, it catches up with them. You can only get so far. And again, that's where my invitation comes with my audience. Look at transformational. Get your niche. Because the fulfillment is so much greater in that area there. One thing that you mentioned earlier, the four characteristics of a leader, and you shared that one of those top four was trust. Talk about the top four characteristics that you see as far as a leader, Frank.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a great question, because these are kind of the foundational nomenclature for a leader. And, you know, trust has to be first and foremost, and it's always foundational and always, always identified with any leadership book that you read and pick up as, you know, a vital variable to be an effective leader. You know, myself and a couple of others have built a consulting organization around the significance of trust. In fact, you know, there's a phobia about that, people that have a fear of trusting, and it's called pistanthrophobia. I didn't know if you realize that, but there is a condition of people holding back and trusting people. Pistanthrophobia. No. It's amazing. And, you know, within the corporate world, there's an internal reality about trust. You know, over half of the employees in an organization, through a Harvard study, there's about 66% who do not trust their leadership. There's gaps there. There's a huge disparity. And you know what the building blocks of trust are, you know, your competency, how you problem solve and care for others. And trust is built on two different aspects, people and policy and practices. And so those building blocks of competency, of problem solving, and care for others really come out in regards to that whole the discipline of trust. And those disparities, those gaps within those, within as you treat people and how you demonstrate consistency with clientele and your product offering, the people that report to you, your team members, things of that nature, all coalesce together to create or displace trust. And so those two elements really have to mesh together. So trust is first and foremost. You know, we talked about authenticity was very important and is a very big, you know, characteristic. We've shared that a little bit. But I also think listening is a very important attribute to any leader. And I think, well, I believe that you had Dr. Matt Allen talked about the power of listening in one of your podcasts. I believe that was, I hope I'm quoting the right person.
Correct. That's him. Okay.
Good. And, you know, it's so important to have what we call active listening and being really proactive when you're listening. That's a trait that's really kind of falling off and becoming somewhat extinct. Why? Because we have so many distractions. There's so many with social media now and being distracted and trying to multitask. You know, a lot of people think multitasking is a great trait. In fact, in another Harvard study, multitasking is shown to cause brain damage. It's crazy. They call context switching. So when you're involved with a specific engagement or initiative, and you're checking your phone as well, and you're kind of still have one eye on what you're doing, and then someone's asking for, you know, coming in your office, every time you context switch, you lose about 20% of your efficiency. And so multitasking is not a good thing. And so it really has to be an active listener in regards to not to be multitasking, especially when you're listening, let alone if you're engaged with anything else, when you're engaged with another individual or group of people. In fact, when I'm in a meeting with a group of people, I never bring my phone in. You know, some people even bring it in and turn it face down. I don't even do that. I just want to set the tone in regards to when I'm in front of you, you're the most important group of people. When I'm in front of you, you're the most important individual at this time. And so that's a really important characteristic, all revolving around the listening swim lane. And the last, probably among many other characteristics, is one of the things that I really stand firm on and have built, you know, my business acumen around, and that's consistency. That's the cornerstone and foundation of excellence, I feel. You know, consistency means to stand firm regardless of the circumstances or whatever impediments are in your way. And it's one of the most impactful and powerful disciplines, I feel, that leads to focus, being grounded, measured, having that type of mindset. And it represents an ideal state, you know, for an individual who's committed and dedicated to achieve, you know, a desired state or outcome. You know, we have goals and objectives to meet and things of that nature. Well, they only are met with a consistent, dedicated mindset. And so those are really, I would say, four big characteristics that I would share at this time. And what it separates the greats from the very goods, you know, the MVPs from the all-stars, and it separates a mindset from a behavior.
Yeah. You know, from good to great, again, we try to make that process complex. But, you know, the old saying, you know, by the inch is a cinch, by the yard is hard. So if we take little tasks along the way, each little task can set the tone for that monumental greatness that we're going for. And It doesn't have to be difficult, Frank. And that's the thing is I want to challenge the audience is draw a line in the sand, step over that line, stay consistent to yourself. I really love what you said there, standing firm. Consistency to me, or, you know, I think to the majority of individuals when they hear that word is just, okay, I just got to keep doing as I'm doing. That's consistency. Well, standing firm puts a different light on that. And it's standing firm on what? Core principles, core values, core characteristics as far as leadership.
Yes.
Now, that does take effort, and that takes strength. It takes courage.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like standing firm. That
yes.
brings it down to a kind of a simple way to understand it, standing firm in who you are and what you are. I really mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. And, you know, Dr. John, that's not easy in standing firm because
no.
what's the nemesis of consistency? It's compromise.
Yes.
We are polluted with so much noise in the midst of our day, so many distractions that want to cause us to compromise here and there in regards to achieving excellence or shortcuts and things of that nature, wanting things quicker than what it you know, the hard work and the time that it takes. And so that nemesis of consistency, compromise, is what I think a lot of, unfortunately, takes place a lot in our world today, whether it's in business, even in politics, in churches. I mean, it runs the gamut. That's why we really have to make sure that we remain consistent in our own walk, in our own journey, that we're able to be light where there's lost and to be able to, again, model the way for when compromise comes in our path, that consistency wins out at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, compromise, in my eyes, Frank, is a fast track. It's like you're going up to the very epitome of a roller coaster, and you're up there, and if at the very top of that epitome, before that roller coaster starts to go downhill, you shout compromise, that's the way it is after that. Once you compromise the first time,
yes,
it's easy for you to do that to yourself over and over and over again. In fact, you get to a point you don't even think about it. And yeah. next thing you know, you are the mediocre of mediocres.
Mm, that's a great point. You know, it doesn't happen. Compromise happens a little bit at a time. And you know what? A little bit turns into a lot of bit,
yeah.
inevitably. It continues yeah. to metastasize.
Exactly.
Until compromise wins out over consistency. And so we have to be extremely mindful. We have to do the grunt work each day to have
yep.
that quiet time before we get in front of the world and try to make a difference. And
yep.
It takes time, it takes a discipline, and it takes consistency.
Yeah, yeah, you bet. I kind of look at compromise as a cancer for mm-hmm. one's character and for one's goals and missions and leadership. And
yes.
But that's something, you know, realistically, Frank, we're all human beings, and we all at point in time were confronted with
yes.
the opportunity to compromise.
Yes.
And we didn't even look at it as such at that point in time. And maybe we went ahead and did what we knew yeah. that we maybe not even actually know that we shouldn't compromise or that we were compromising. We did it, and we get on the other side and go, wow, I goofed big time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, recovering from that first compromise in anything that is very, very important for us is hard to go back on. It's kind of like once you lose trust with a person, it's really, really, really hard to regain it. And also with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. That's for darn sure. And, you know, that's where grace comes in as well. You know, when, you know, I believe that the good Lord loves do-overs, and, you know, it's never too late that if you've compromised in a certain area that you feel like you cannot be remorseful or gain forgiveness, that's far from true, because that's what, that's a force against what wants you to believe it or not, to have a change of heart, a renewed effort, a new beginning, so to speak. And all of us, I mean, you hit it on the head. All of us are on this journey. I mean, we never arrive. We're always in a state of trying to become better and surround ourselves with wonderful people, great people such as yourself, and really equip ourselves with voices of reason in our life rather than, you know, yes people, people that will enable us. You know, in one of my books, I talk about that victim mentality, a victim mindset, I believe it's chapter 8. And, you know, we could easily go there and utilize the victim mindset, the victim mentality, you know, for years, in fact, for a lifetime. You know, I grew up in unfortunate circumstances that led me to lean on certain individuals who happened to be football coaches, you know. You know, in the absence of having a biological father, you know, some of these coaches, you know, taught me traits and disciplines about work ethic, determination, yeah, persistence, those kind of things at a very early age. And I'm so grateful to have maintained a close relationship even to this day with, you know, my high school and college football coach, knowing how to be a good daddy and breaking that vicious circle and creating a legacy for my own kids, but not growing up without a father, using that as a crutch of saying, I'm going to continue this vicious circle, or use as an excuse, you know, and having that victim mindset. And so we all have a choice, right? I mean, we all are dealt with a hand, and we just have to make sure that, you know, do we want, what direction do we want to proceed? And it's up to us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you brought up a point there that many people from your past assumed a leadership role in your life when your relationship with them was not based upon a leadership role per se consciously, but it just happened. And look at what it did to you and for you. You mentioned a high school football coach. My high school football coach was the same. He was a great man. He pushed us to excellence. Although, you know, when you are 16, 17, 18 years old, all you are thinking about is, darn, he's hard on us in practice. Why does he make us do this stuff?
Right.
Well, we won a lot of games, and we were feared, and we were respected, and we were revered. And his leadership with young people made a big difference in our lives. Mm-hmm. And today, part of who John is a reflection upon my high school coach. And I always felt indebted to him as an individual. So you never know when the opportunity arises that you will become a very invaluable leader in someone else's life.
Oh my goodness. That's so true. And you know, you hit it on the head, Dr. John, when you talk about, you know, this coach that was so impressionable in those years, your high school years, that it's carried over to your professional career, that you don't learn in the books. You can't learn in school. That's within the core, your core mantra of who you are, and to develop that. You know, I learned more on the football field and on the basketball court, the baseball diamond, than I did in any classroom, any textbook about life, you know,
about situational
awareness and work ethic and determination, persistence, those kind of things that you can't learn in a textbook.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we have a choice. You know, I was, you know, one of the first to go in my family to go, you know, to college. And if not for the gift of having, you know, playing football and having a scholarship, which afforded me the opportunity to go to college. But if I would have listened to one of my role models growing up, which was my grandfather, saying that I was, again, you know, you hear the stories all the time that I was too short to play football, I probably would have given up. But thank the Lord I didn't. I had coaches. I had Vince Cangelosi in flag football that said, you stick with it, Frank. I'll come and pick you up. I'll give you a ride. I'll take you under my wing. I'll show you. And from that point on to Dan Carter, you know, in college, these people had so much influence in my life that I'm the man who I am today because of those individuals in regards to being a dad, a great dad, or aspiring to be a great dad and a great husband as well.
Yeah. Well, those people are important in our lives. And that's the emphasis of my podcast, actually, Frank, is, you know, to help people become more aware of their leadership potential and opportunities in their practice, in their life and around them. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in the fact that you cannot separate who you are from the office and your home life and your personal life. Mm-hmm. You have to maintain, as you say, in your consistency. Mm-hmm. Stand firm mm-hmm. in who you are at home and at the practice or in your professional career. Mm-hmm. You know, you did have mentioned your 10 pillars of consistent centric leadership. There's characteristics in there. Also, you know, you talk about trust, character, accountability, integrity. I won't mention all 10 of them. Share with us what you see, Frank, out of those 10, maybe your top four.
Wow.
We've already established trust.
Yes.
That's the biggie.
You're right. I think some of the other big ones are character, obviously. You know, we talk about moral excellence. That's character. You know, the old kind of adage, who you are when no one's looking. But consistently, who are you when no one's looking or when people are looking? You know, accountability is very important, Dr. John, and having people in your life to take on that personal response, to help you take on personal responsibility, that can speak in your life, that you can be totally transparent and vulnerable with. I have several accountability partners that we meet each week that sharpen me, and I'm available to help them and be their voice of reason as well, both personally and professionally. So I think accountability is very important. You know, I talked about, you know, we talked about sports and, you know, what sports without persistence, you know, and that's uncompromised commitment to excellence. And it takes a lot of work and practice, two-a-days, you know, to get to be a team of excellence and determination as well, you know, intentional, uncompromised focus, because there's a lot of things that get us off focus, in this world that we've talked about already, those distractions. But when you peel the onion, I think one of the, I shared with you some of my role models, were my coaches. The other gentleman that I definitely have to give a shout out to, who's no longer on this earth, but was just so instrumental as I was cutting my teeth after I finished my undergrad, and start working for his company called Marion Laboratories. His name was Ewing Kaufman, and people that are from Kansas City know that name with his pharmaceutical company. But Mr. K, I had the opportunity to mentor under him for about a half a year when I came out of college. And then he sold out to Merrill Dow and eventually passed away. But he was a great man who not only taught about business acumen, but also community give back as well. And he had this mantra that goes, people don't, or not, it, he go, it, it goes that it, being the best by caring the most. And he lived that. And being the best by caring the most is something that goes hand in hand with that relationship, not only being bottom line driven, but creating the relationship side to be the best at what you do, whether it's within healthcare, whether it's, you know, you fill in the blank, by caring the most.
Yeah.
So, and you started out our time together with that, you know, the Theodore Roosevelt saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's about exactly. Care, isn't it? Genuine authenticity.
It is. You know, Frank, I read a lot of books. Your book, I probably read 30 to 40 books a year. Have for a long time, and they're not murder mystery novels. They're books on honest to greatness, things like that. One of the main themes is caring about people, providing an optimal experience based around what that particular person needs, not what you think they need, but what you have learned that they need and giving it to them. It goes, you know, I went years ago early in my practice. I just had to go see Zig Ziglar speak. So I was at one of his weekend retreats. And one of his big sayings was give people what they want. They will give you what you want in return. It's the law of reciprocity with, you know, Robert Cialdini. You give, people will give back. but you have to do it sincerely. You have to do it authentically.
Right. Yes.
If you give it with conditions, that's transactional. When
yes.
you give it with no conditions and you give it with 100% based upon what that person needs, that's transformational. That is winning.
Yes, it is. You know, there's that old saying that it comes back. It's intrinsic. It talks about giver's gain, that the giver gains more than the person that gets that
yes.
gift. You know, it's a giver's
yes.
gain. You get more fulfillment in giving. And so
gotcha.
I love that what you shared. That's fantastic. That's such a bingo.
Yeah, yep. It is, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Frank, let's bring this home now and let's give our audience, I want you to give our audience two great takeaways that you can help propel them into their roles of assuming leadership and becoming a person of greatness.
Well, let's see here. You know, one of the things that I always share when I do speak in front of crowds is, one of my favorite phrases that's from Mark Twain, and he said that there's two most important dates for everyone: the day they were born and the day they figured out why they were born. And that's all about purpose. And so to my audience, to our audience today, or that's listening, you know, we have to know that it's not in regards to, you know, as Dr. John and I talked about, the acronyms behind your name or how much money you're making. It's about being your true authentic self. And purpose is about making sure you find yourself. If someone were to ask you, what is your purpose? You should be able to rattle it off in one or two sentences in regards to what that purpose is. You ask me what my purpose is, it's to help people reach their full God-given potential. You know, you'll be able to rattle that off. If you can't, that's something that you might want to create kind of your branding. I like call it your personal branding statement that we take
right.
people through in exercise and workshops. But I think that's really important to make sure that you find out why were you born? It transcends bottom line driven initiatives and goals to make certain amount of money. It's within your profession. What is your purpose? What do you want to do? What's your takeaway? What impression? What do you want to leave behind to people? To imprint in their heart, not just, you know, a service orientation business where, you know, it's very doesn't have depth and breadth to it, where it's just surfacey.
Yes.
I think with each, as you shared with me, Dr. John, and over a cup of coffee, you know, you want to create those deep relationships. You really want to care about people, what's going on in their life, even outside of what's going on in their mouth, which I think is just so admirable and what's gotten you to being so successful and so admired as one of the leaders within our community. And so that consistency is very important. So finding out what your purpose is really important, and knowing that it's never too late to find what your purpose is. Surround yourself with people, trusted people, where you could become vulnerable, where you could become authentic, and let them help you navigate through those kind of tough questions or some of the things that may be even overt down deep inside, because it's never too late to share and to get right and course correct some of those things that may have never transpired in your life and are kind of risen up, or you felt like they are now through this podcast. It's never too late to surround yourself around right people to get right yourself. And we're all on this journey together. No, you know, again, you know, it's a journey, and we never arrive until we're all in that wonderful, great place upstairs together. So
you betcha. Well said, Frank. Well put together. Great conversation today. I think we gave a lot of information out there for our audience and the community to think about. I would like for you to share with our Fearless Dental community how they can get a hold of you. And I will also attach that to the show notes, Frank. But share with them what is the best way to get a hold of you and also your website for your company.
You bet. if you want to touch base, if you want to visit, set up some time, if you want to purchase a book, if you want more resources in regards to some of the disciplines that Dr. John and I spoke about this morning, you can view that on my website, www.drfrankarmato.com. My number's on there as well. My phone number, you can reach me. Feel free to reach out to me via phone as well. But you can reach me at that on that website.
Perfect. So if you get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you someone needs a little help on leadership, you'll take them to the moon and back with great information at 3 a.m, huh?
I don't know about to the moon, maybe to the stratosphere and back.
Yeah, well, that's a great commitment there, okay. Frank. You're standing firm.
Okay.
I love it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being a guest today, Frank. Again, I love the conversation. I love the information, and I love the topic. I love to talk about leadership and the impact that we can make in other people's lives if we choose to go into the transformational aspect. And I think that's where the riches of life are, mm-hmm. in the great fulfillment. And I think that's part of our purpose, Frank, is why we're put on earth here, is to help people reach their greatness.
I agree. Thank you, Dr. John. Appreciate the invitation.
You betcha. And so that is our episode today for the Fearless Dentistry Podcast. And I'm your host, Dr. John.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.